Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the pristine beaches of the Gold Coast, Australia's lifestyle playground. With over 30 years of accounting and wealth creation experience, Peter Adams is here to share his insights that have helped business owners and families create real wealth and that can brighten your financial life.
Welcome to part one of our latest series of programs, Smart Business for Small Business. Hello, my name is Peter Adams. I should be hosting a series of programs over the coming weeks. Smart Business for Small Business is based upon the simple concept of helping you start and grow your business. Over the coming weeks, I should be presenting a range of topics designed to help you, the business owner, be starting and growing your own business, regardless of your business size. Your business can be the small corner store, service department, or even a tradesperson. I am here to help you build your business. In each show, I should be presenting a guest speaker who will help me explore the opportunities that I'll be demonstrating in each program. Some of the topics that I should be sharing with you over the coming weeks will be including starting your own business, that's today's show, finance for your business, effective marketing tactics, getting customers for your business, and keeping those customers long term. I have plenty of topics to share with you in such a short period of program. So folks, let's get started with today's show. Today's show is about starting your own business. It's so important to start your business the right way. We see too often many businesses fail through lack of planning and advice. In today's show, I'm presenting some good advice for you to think about when starting your business. Later in the show, I'm going to be joined by the lovely Louise Hannafin for Solution Business Development. Louise and her delightful husband David have their own business that help budding entrepreneurs bring their business idea to fruition. Are you one of those people who dream of owning your own business? Do you have that great idea that you feel customers will want your product or service? And what is stopping you from putting that idea to reality? Is it lack of skills, lack of knowledge, lack of finance, or even lack of roots? These are just a few of the reasons why some people do not realize their dream of starting their own business. Starting your own business is a multi-step process that can feel overwhelming when you're on your own. But we'll make it easy to stay organized and on track while you start your business. But guess what? Achieve success. Whether you're refining your business idea, filing your permits and licenses, drafting your business plan, or even looking for funding, we have the tools you need to do it right and get it done. To my mind, it's fear of the unknown that holds most of us back, and not the thought of whether we're competent enough or intelligent enough or whatever else we need to run a business. As with anything else, learning to manage, be the boss, and run a business are just things that happen over time and with practice. Now let's have a quick look at why you can and should run a business. There are many reasons for starting a business. Each one is different. Firstly, you can do it because others are doing it. Think the country is dominated by the big businesses run by people with MBAs? Wrong. 99% of businesses in the US and also in Australia are small businesses, and they employ 80% of the population. You don't need any special training to run a business. You just need an idea, a desire to learn and adapt, and the ability to take action. You can do it because it's a business appropriate for just about everyone's interest, experience, passions, and expertise. Starting business really only comes down to figuring out your business idea, doing your paperwork, and sorting out the money. But most importantly, planning. Given the number of funding resources available today, you shouldn't have too much of a problem getting an initial startup cash, especially if you focus on a good business model. You can do it. Even if you start from home, like kitchen tables. According to the American SBA, that's the Small Business Association, 53% of all small businesses are home-based, and of the 28 million small businesses in the US, 22 million of those are operated by people consider themselves self-employed. They have no employees, and they have no payroll. You get tax benefits by having your own business. Oh yes, this isn't like the freelancers, small individuals, sole proprietors, everyone. Depending on the type of business you register as, you can write off a number of your expenses between travel, telephone bills, food, proportion of the payments, and things like cars and so on. And depending on the business you start, there may also be various government incentives. You have to check with your local government department on that. If you're unsure about what to do and how to register, I strongly advise speaking with your own accountant about the tax benefits you could be eligible for. And the one I consider most important, get to do what you want, when you want, and the way you want to do it. This is an opportunity to give the things you do meaning and to add value in the places where it matters to you. For example, remember the software company Palo Alto? They focus primarily on helping small businesses realize their dreams of starting a business by offering perfect software packages that are going to help them. People are always asking a lot for a list of fundamentals that they can use to start their own business, from your business type to your business model to your physical location. There are so many variables. It's not easy to come up with a complete list that will work exactly for you. Let us now look at some of the key steps that are vital in driving your business idea to reality. Step 1. Conduct your own personal evaluation. Begin by taking control of yourself and your situation. Have a think about the type of person you are. Ask yourself these questions. Why do you want to start a business? Is it money, freedom, creativity, or some other reason? What skills do you have? What industry do you know about? Would you want to provide a service or a product? What do you like to do? What are your passions? What are your hobbies? How much capital do you have to risk? Will it be a full-time or a part-time venture? The answers to these types of questions will help you narrow your focus. This step is not support focus is greater from starting your own business. Rather, it's here to get you thinking and planning about yourself to see if you're the right type of person that should be going into business. Some other questions to ask yourself is that, what would you do if money wasn't a problem? Is money really important, or rather, making a lot of it really important? If it is, you're probably going to be cutting out a number of options. What things really matter to you? Do you want a lifestyle? The most important thing to think about is not letting the business run you. You need to let the business work for you. Do you have the support of your family, especially your immediate family? They may have to make sacrifices at the beginning. So it's important to have them support you. Who do you admire in business? Look at the people that have done really well, the Bill Gates, the Donald Trump. Perhaps in the industry you like to go into, why do you admire them? What are their likable traits? What can you learn from them? Answer these questions and ask them many more about yourself and your abilities if it's necessary going to ensure you're successful. Let it get you thinking about your goals and that. What motivates and inspires you? Use this time to make sure you're matching the business you want to start to your personal aspirations. Step 2. Before you even think about setting up your own business, do a feasibility study. The purpose of a feasibility study is to analyze your business idea to determine if your idea is viable and if it should be followed through with. Determining if a business is feasible prior to establishing it prevents you from wasting time, effort, and money. Feasibility is about investigating whether a business venture could be profitable or not. Naturally, if the business is not feasible, it might not make a profit. And you shouldn't even think about starting it. Conducting feasibility exercises to determine whether to start your business or not is critical. It involves you taking the time to do the calculations and the research, talking to and working with your advisors to determine whether the business has a good chance of succeeding. For a business to be feasible, it must make a profit and allow you as a business owner to create an asset as available for the future. Plus, enhance your lifestyle. That is why you need to be able to enjoy what you're doing. This means work satisfaction and independence is just an important part of the mix. Don't think about letting the business run you. Don't even think about letting you working in the business 20 hours a day. Let the business work for you. Automate it. You have to set aside all measurement work and the solid evidence of facts provided by advisors, as well as the research that you can do a successful business ratio. When you are working at feasibility, remember that detail is not critical for this stage. That will come in later. That can be looked at when the planning process is undertaken. One of the main reasons for failure is where the entrepreneur has come up with the idea, has taken the idea to production and marketing without researching the feasibility of the concept. The fact that the entrepreneur simply loves the idea or product won't guarantee it's going to be a roaring success. This also applies to established businesses as well. People who might be introducing a new product or service to your portfolio at the moment, do your feasibility, make sure it's going to be a viable product. A smart business person may be important for doing the initial research before investing time and money. A smart entrepreneur will not move ahead and develop a full-scale business based on an idea that's not been fully investigated. Step 3, prepare a business plan. First of all, you've just done your feasibility study, and it looks like it's going to be a profitable venture for it. The research indicates that the product or service that you're offering is going to go well on the marketplace. It's going to meet the consumer needs. Well, business plan is essential for any business, no matter its size. Your business plan is an extension of your feasibility study. The business plan is a blueprint for your business. Most businesses prepare business plans for the purpose of seeking finance on startup. Once they've secured the finance to start designing your business, the plan gets put into a cupboard. However, your business plan should be prepared at any stage of your business lifestyle. Your business plan should be used for seeking finance, business growth, measuring viability, and impact of introducing a new product or even a new service. The standard business plan can be very in-depth or it can be short, but in essence, it comprises 9 parts. And regardless of the size of the business plan, as long as it covers these areas, the executive summary, the company overview, the product or services, the target market, the marketing and sales plan, the milestones and metrics, the management plan, the financial plan, and any appendix. Now remember, this business plan can be for growth or for funding. Use it as a tool. Once you've created your own business plan, one of the most critical drivers after development is the setting up of an action plan. Map out the developmental and growth stages. Involve your team in the business plan and get your team actively involved with the implementation of the plan. Monitor the progress of the action plan. Is the business performing to the expectations of the business plan? Does the business plan or internal systems find tweaking to achieve the results of the plan? Be mindful of the fact that the actual direction of your business or product may be a better alternative to the original idea in the business plan. Evaluate the direction that you're heading. Revise the business plan. The key point here is revise. Step 4, make your business legal. Realistically speaking, registering your business as a business is the first step towards making it real. However, as with personal evaluation, take your time to get to know the pros and cons of different business formations. If at all possible, work with a legal person or an accountant to iron out the details. This is not an area where you want to get wrong. It will be costly in terms of tax and asset protection in the long run. So make sure you get it right in the first instance. Here are some of the typical types of business formations that you can think about. Sole trader. Sole trader is a type of setup whereby the business has no separate legal existence from its owner. You can use a business name or your own name, and as a sole trader, you're responsible for the liabilities of your business. A partnership. Unlike a sole trader, a partnership involves two or more people starting a business. All partners legally share profits, risks, and losses according to the partnership contract, which is established at the onset of the business. A company, a proprietary limited company in other countries like America, you've got LLC, you've got two corporations, you know, there's a vast range of companies set up as limited liability companies all around the world. A proprietary limited company is the most common type of company used by small business. Unlike partnerships with sole traders, it has more regulatory requirements, such as legal entity separate from its shareholders owners. 4, a limited company. You'll need to seek professional advice for this structure. This structure offers the public to purchase shares in your business. The structure is more regulated and requires a lot more work. Also, you'll need to consider registering your business license. Consider trademarks that need protection. You've got a product that needs to be trademarked. Look at it, because you don't want anyone infringing on your trademark and producing the same sort of product that you're doing at a cheaper price and you're losing out. One of the most critical areas of the starting up a business, getting finance. Depending on the size of your venture, you may need to seek financing from an angel or a venture capital firm. Most small businesses begin with private financing from credit cards, personal loans, help from your family, and so on. As a rule, besides your startup cost, you should also have at least 3 months' worth of your family's budget in the bank. This is called your working capital requirement. In order to finance your company, you will need to match the business needs to appropriate financing options. The main types of investment and lending options include venture capitalists, angel investment, commercial banks, grants, crowdfunding, friends and family, and other forms of financing, like leasing, but we'll cover those in some other future. Your financial projections contained in your business plan include a section for startup cost projections. Your startup cost limits for the following elements that you need to finance. Most critically, you get it right at the beginning. I'm realizing after 2 months I need this asset or I need the extra staff, it's too late to get additional finance. So some of the ideas that you need to think about for your startup cost. Cost for setting up your business structure and business name, professional legal advice, trademark and patent registration, licenses and permits, plant and equipment building. If you're renting a premise, you need to think about the fit out costs, office furniture. Also, you need to think about the deposits for office or warehouse rent. Quite often, you may want to spend and market your business, so you're going to need to have a budget set aside for that. Business plan costs, initial inventory purchase if you're selling product, so you've got to purchase the inventory up front, unless you can arrange some excellent condition with consignment stock. And most importantly, allow for 2 to 3 months of expenses, such as staffing, telephone, rent. Assume that the first 2 or 3 months of your business, you're not going to have income, particularly if you're developing an online website, whereby you're going to have developmental costs of developing the website. You may have 2 or 3 months without income, but in the meantime, you've got the website development costs, you might have staffing. You've employed the training, telephone bills. Each business is unique, so there's a different level of startup cost. Organising your tax obligations. Regardless of where you are in the world, it's important that you set up your business structure and registering your business name. You need to register your business for taxation purposes. Your business will need to register for federal and possibly state tax obligations. You will need to seek professional advice in regards to your tax. In Australia, all businesses have to register for income tax. All traders can use their own personal tax file numbers, but partnerships and companies need to apply for their own tax file number. Each business obligated to obtain their own ABN, that's the Australian Business Number. However, an ABN is not compulsory, but it does have many advantages, such as being able to facilitate a business activity statement, confirm your business identity to others when ordering and invoicing, avoid PAYG tax on payments you receive, claim goods and services tax credits, financial grant credits, and you can obtain an Australian domain name. However, you might have to register for other taxes such as GST, payroll tax, and other taxes that could be applicable to your business. Seek an experienced accountant who can best advise you on your obligations, or have a chat to the Australian Tax Office, the government taxation body in your country. Step 7, licenses and permits to trade. Depending on your business idea, it depends upon the licenses and permits that you're required to obtain. State government licenses. Each state and territories are responsible for different business licenses, permits, registrations, and certificates. You need to check with the appropriate state government body. Even local councils have their own special permits and requirements. You'll need to check with your local council and find out about the zoning, health regulations, and whether you need to lodge a development application. It's an important asset of your business to spend the right amount of time and investment to find with people. Employees are the heart and soul of the business. They are the mechanism that makes the business run. They are the breath of life that enables the business to do something more than they do. A business cannot run unless someone, employees in this case, is doing the work. Any intelligent business owner should want good employees. Hiring an employee can add value to the company. If there are hands and brains working for the best interest of the organization, what it wants to achieve. However, not all employees possess the skills needed to make that happen. Such as competency, excellent work performance, commitment, and loyalty. If there are employees who do not contribute to the organization the way they should, then the entire team is affected, especially those who work directly with that person. That is why it's important for organizations to take every minute possible to hire the right person, minimize risk and effectiveness. The hiring cost of finding the right employee may be higher than if you're just looking for an average person, but the cost of hiring the wrong person far surpasses having the right employee to work for you. So it is better to be prudent up front, so you don't have to pay for mistakes later. Now let's have a look at your legal requirements. As an employer, you have certain obligations under common law. You also have obligations under federal and state and territory laws, industrial awards, agreements, tribunal decisions, and contracts of employment. For example, outlined below are some of the legal requirements that you need to address as hiring employees. Ensure that you have workers' compensation in place. Ensure that you pay employees a minimum wage if you fit regulation requirements. And deduct tax on employees' pay and remit to the Australian Taxation Office. It is also recommended that you have in place a human resource policy and procedure in your workplace. HR policies and procedures outline the requirements of the business and its employees. It is a worthy investment of time and money to have such a manual in place to maintain a stable and happy environment. We'll be back in a few moments, folks. That's the end of all the steps. Let's see if we can get our caller on the line. Okay, mama. Try and get them to come along next week's show. But in the meantime, we'll carry on with the show. But most important thing, we've already covered the important steps of setting up your own business. Making sure you've got the right finance, doing a feasibility study, doing a business plan, doing all your necessary research. It's critical to do that in the first instance. Do the feasibility, follow through the business plan. Make sure your business idea is going to be workable, it's going to be viable. Then all the necessary requirements. Do the development process. Go through, set up an action plan. Monitor the progress of your action plan. And don't forget, keep that business plan going. Even if it's just for the purpose of doing seeking finance. Use it afterwards. Blueprint of your business. Use it, make sure you're achieving what you want to do. Don't let it just sit in your cupboard drawer and waste the way. You spent time and effort, probably money involved in getting your business plan out. Use it for its best effort. Trial and error. A lot of business, particularly when you're starting your first or your third business, expect to make mistakes. This is natural, and as long as you learn from these mistakes, if you do not make mistakes, you do not learn what to do less of. And on the other hand, what to do more of. Be open-minded and creative. Adapt, look for opportunities, and above all, have fun. The greatest thing about owning your own business is that you decide what you want to do and what direction you want to go. This is your business. Make it fun. Don't let it, the business control you. You control the business. You have a lifestyle. You want to go out surfing or spend time with your family. This is why you've gone into business. You want to have a better lifestyle, but you want the business to work for you. Well, folks, this is it for today's show. I hope that you've gained some valuable knowledge on how to start your business in the correct way. If you'd like further information or a copy of the paper for this show, please send me PRAdams9998@gmail.com. This is Peter Adams. Stay tuned for next week's show. Next week's show, we'll be talking about the G factor. The G factor is the growth factor and how you can apply the G factor to your business. The G factor can be applied during startup, infancy phase, or even growth phase. Follow along, listen to it, and be full of fun. In the meantime, my apologies for not being able to get Louise on the show today. If you want to contact Louise from Fruition Business Development, you can contact her on 1-800-192-546 or send an email to admin@fruitionbusinessdevelopment.com. We'll pick that you can find us Louise from Fruition Business Development on 1-800-192-546 or send an email to admin@fruitionbusinessdevelopment.com. Well, that's it all for today. This is Peter Adams. I should be back same time, same place, next week with the second part of Smart Business for Small Business. Okay. Bye for now. Have a great week. And let's it all happen.